Well, let's look at break 41 here again, like I ended the previous break. I'm not trying to offer anyone an excuse to live a life conformed to the world. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, there's a number of topics in there that would make good breaks. You know, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, or the three separate levels of will of God, or how do people like to misteach that thing. Reasonable service is the least you could do, is how Paul is putting that. And be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what you need a King James Bible for. And that's why Paul said what he said in Romans chapter 7 about the mind battle. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we need to be aiming our walk towards the Spirit, towards what the Bible says. We've understood that. Romans 6, verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. As a Christian, we are still called to do the right thing, to do right, to stand up for what is right, to dress right, to talk right, to eat right, drink right, spend right, see right, avoid things and withdraw from things and have no company with. We are to aim for the right thing still. He takes care of the flesh, so if we do give in, then it still burns in the judgment seat of Christ, all the things that we do. But he still says, listen, you know, you're not off the hook. There's things you still need to do as a Christian. And we see in Romans chapter 7, 15 on again, that Paul did try to do the right thing. But while he was trying to do the right thing, there are times he still did the wrong thing. And he explains that very, very completely. We also go to the end of that Romans chapter 7, where he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God. He wants to do the right thing. But with the flesh, the law of sin. So that flesh is still active. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11. For we which are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. And that's a simple verse where it says, listen, we may have died with Christ and crucified with Christ, but we are to live that resurrected life, that the life also of Jesus, that's the risen Jesus, might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So what's Jesus, the risen Savior, taught to Paul about the life of the risen Savior? That's what we need to manifest in our lives. Not what Jesus taught to the Jews, but what Jesus taught to Paul, to the Gentiles. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, small s, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Fear of God. Is that because he can whump us down? He can kill us? He can burn our house down? He can do these things to us? No, not at all. None of that threat is there. But that perfecting holiness in the fear of God, he is still God. We still awe. We still respect. That's the fear of God. He's God. Now, how can I say that? Because nowhere does Paul say God's going to get you for what you did. He's going to get those things that you did, judgment seat of Christ, but he's not going to get you. So when you see the phrase fear of God, we know right off the bat, Paul is not talking about fear God or he'll get you. We have to realize that Paul is talking about, this is still God we're talking about here. He's not your buddy. He's not your friend. He's not your co-partner in doing the wrong things. When we do those things, we know that we quench the Spirit of God. We grieve the Spirit of God. So we have to realize that who we're still quenching and grieving here. Okay, now we also have to realize that according to Paul's life, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, it wasn't easy for Paul either. He says, for when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nobody says living the life of the persecuted Christian, according to Paul's teachings, is going to be easy. Our flesh has no rest. We are troubled on every side. Without our fightings, within our fears. We all have them. And these Christians, so-called modern Christians, who think, oh, everything is hunky-dory. God will take care of the country. Oh, yes, he will, but not the way they say. God will take care of you. God will provide this. God will provide that. As you go deeply into debt, hoping God will bail you out someday. All these things. No, when you understand the truth, and we have that peace on the inside, we have that understanding, all the joy and hope that we have from these things, and the confidence, all these things, our flesh still has no rest. We are troubled. On every side, Paul said. Now, I don't find us necessarily being troubled on every side because we still have a credit card. We still have ways of doing things. We're living pretty comfortably. So we don't have trouble on every side. I think some of you folks out there that are listening to this, you may have trouble on every side. You may have that fightings without and fears within. But I think on the whole, most of us somehow just manage to keep that stuff away from us because we tend to find ourselves conforming to the world. We just don't have that fight in us anymore. That's how I sense it with many of us, that we've just kind of given up on the fight, and we're tired of the troubles on every side, we're tired of the fightings, we're tired of the fears, and so we just rest on the fact that, well, Christ took care of this, Christ took care of that, and the reasonable service, well, not really want to do that sort of a thing, you know. We find ourselves conforming to this world more and more. Keep in mind in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, that really our enemy is not the people around us. There really isn't. Those are the people we hassle with, our bosses, and all these things that we end up dealing with people, and they say what they say about us, and when we get into it with them, we see what they're going through, and we see the trickeries they've been deceived with, and we see things taking place. He says, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. People think that we say what we say because we are walking according to the flesh. We're being unfair. We're being, fleshy. We're not having any care and love for them. For though we walk in the flesh, see, we're still in our bodies. Okay, but we've been cut away from the flesh too. But this is where he's referring to the fact that while we walk in the flesh still, we do not war after the flesh. We do have a war with our own flesh. But what he's talking about here is we don't war after the people with us and the people around us in these things. That's not really our war. He says again in Ephesians 6:12, you know this verse, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I could tell you some folks that I really don't like, and I despise their modern Christianity and the way they behave and the way they talk. I really just don't like that stuff. But you know, they're still not my enemy. Sad to say, though, according to Paul in Galatians 4:16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? When we tell people the truth about the risen Savior, the King James Bible, doctrinal truths, and how things ought to be designed within the local church, etc., etc., we do become their enemy. Just remember, they're not our enemy. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:15, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. I recognize that even in the world of education, even amongst family, the more you love and care for people and you want them to have the truth, the less you are loved. And I think many of you have discovered that scripture as well. Now, there's a conclusion to this. This is not the conclusion to this series on the flesh, but the conclusion of what we've been kind of leaning towards here, and we'll get into that in the next break.